got Adam jumping in. Thanks for showing up. Yeah, I know we kind of had to change the schedule a little bit, but man, thank you for showing up. We really appreciate it. Normally, I just talk about the last game, you know what I mean? But I really want to get your point of view, you know, as a play caller, you know, that Midwest City game before we talk about Piedmont.
All right, yeah. You know, Midwest City game, we scored once offensively. We put one really good drive together right before half, which was really cool to see the kids go execute that. But, you know, we didn't really get things going, never got in a rhythm. You know, it was a really tough place to go win up at Rose Field. Never played there, but I coached there a couple times. And offensively, we ran the ball pretty well, you know. They loaded the box pretty good and played some man coverage over us, and we just didn't take advantage of some of the opportunities we had. I definitely could have done a better job and put the kids in better situations. And I think we had five drops, and then that's really tough. It's tough, especially for young kids to have a drop, and then, you know, it kind of impacts everybody because it's just like a big sigh, like, oh gosh, didn't convert here on 3rd and 8 or whatever. And then it gets in the quarterback's head that it's not, I mean, he threw a great ball or whatever, but now he's saying that's an incompletion, so it's not a real good confidence builder for him and obviously for the kid and everybody. So it's just, you know, drops are tough, but we answered the bell this last week and took advantage of the opportunities we had this week. And, so for the Midwest City game, everyone thinks like, "Well, how did they stop you?" Well,
realistically, though,
I mean, it was a lot of execution. Yeah. I mean, a lot of execution, and
we stopped ourselves. If you look at the tape more than
then we had a couple big plays called back. Where I mean, right. You know, Trey Crabtree's little underneath counter, huge play, and it got called back, and whatever,
for whatever reason,
yeah, I mean, it got called back. So we got to do something better. So never want to put it in the hands of somebody else.
Yeah.
That was kind of, in my point of view, that was a good game. It's never a good game to struggle, right? But that was a low that we still won on, you know what I mean? So to have that low point and then be able to build off that to move in to the first playoff game, I thought was a good opportunity.
And to have your low point as a district championship. I mean, it's kind of one of those things that you and I talked about a little bit later on that night, like,
We did something really cool.
You know, I mean, it sucks right now.
Yeah, that's really cool.
But we just last year we lost that game.
In football, every game takes a life of its own.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
I mean, it's in, you know, some people want it to look this way all the time, and they like, even last week we scored 20, but we only had 6 possessions and only 2 in the second half.
Right.
And so, the second possession we had, I did a poor job calling it inside the green area, inside the 10-yard line, and that's not to the kid's fault. That's 100% on me, and that's something we'll work on.
But you also knew the situation too.
Yeah, if we don't score, the flex punt's got to go 95 yards, and they ran it out,
and they're down 3 scores.
Yeah. So
they had 8.5 minutes left, and they ran the clock out. They still didn't score.
Yeah, so that was on the back of my mind as well. It would have been prettier if we would have kind of called the game a little bit differently down there. And I don't necessarily regret it or anything. It's just a lesson learned, and it worked out, man.
You scored on 50% of your drive.
Yeah. Yep.
And I mean, if you go into a game and say, "Hey, we're going to score touchdowns on 50% of our drives,
we're going to win."
You're going to take that.
And if we would have scored on that one down there, it would have been 100% of the drives in the second half.
Right.
So it would have been 2 for 2 in the second half. So,
and they kind of piggyback that off of the Midwest City game. I mean, like you said, every game takes its own whatever. I mean, we complete 1 or 2 of those early passes that were dropped.
Yeah.
Now all of a sudden
the picture's changed.
Yeah, it's completely, we're playing with a bunch of confidence, got a bunch of stuff going on, and who knows where the score goes from there, because the defense wasn't allowing anything.
Yeah, they were locked out night. 2 weeks in a row. And that's what's great about it is whenever we struggle, then they've got our back. And the same thing, you know, you think about the first half of El Reno, defensively, the Nicholson went off for a little bit. Luckily, offensively, me and Jack always talk like, well, we both can't be bad at the same time. So I got your back, you got mine.
right.
And so that's
28 points and 13 offensive plays.
Yeah. Jack and I got a really good relationship, and we trust each other a ton, and that leads to a lot of our success. And I've got all the confidence in the defense, which makes it a lot of fun to call plays offensively. He feels the same way the other side of the ball.
Talk a little bit about that, like knowing that, like against Guthrie and that – Not Guthrie, against Piedmont.
Yeah.
You know, 20-0, and you're calling plays down there at the end, or even in the beginning of the game, you know, you get up 14-0 on a flex bone team. I mean, talk about that, how not easy it is to call plays, because calling plays is a very, very difficult task. But knowing that your defense, can you read like halfway through the first quarter or halfway through the second quarter, okay, our defense really isn't going to probably give up much tonight. Does that change your play calling? How does that work?
I think it can for sure, and it's game by game, you know. Okay. And you know, like for Piedmont, the flex bone is like, well, let's get out of here, you know, because yeah. I mean, at some point in the flex bone, you can pop one. I mean, yeah. I mean, it, with that offense, it's okay. I didn't squeeze my down block by 6 inches that I usually do, and now the dive went for 40.
Yeah.
So I mean, as soon as you can get out of there, let's get out of there. And that was in the back of my mind, especially going in that last drive we had down there in the green area inside the 10. And so yeah, that's definitely played a role. It's like, I mean, they're not going to go get 3 scores in 8 minutes against this defense. Right. So. And if we don't, and if it's not as if a 27-0 looks sexier, so be it. But it's still like you and I talked about 1-0 in the playoffs,
so. Right? Like you and I talked about, we'll take a 3-2 win.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. 2-0. I don't care.
Right.
Yeah. So I'll always
win and move on. Who cares?
That's right. And that's kind of so. Yeah, it does play. It plays a different role every week, and you just got to be. You just got to call the game to win the game, not to call the game to look one way or another.
Right.
Like, we're not getting style points, so. Call the game to win it, and that's right. What hopefully we do for a couple more weeks.
What is jumping to the honors of the week?
Yeah, okay.
Practice player of the week, Bryce Martin.
Bryce is an excellent football player, excellent competitor. He gives us a dang good look, and sometimes he really frustrates me because we don't complete the ball in practice, and it's because Bryce Martin's in the hip pocket of Trey and Mike, and he's doing a great job, and he gave us a great look. He's does a great job on the scout team. On the kickoff on special Friday nights.
Yeah,
I think he's been special team player of the week as well.
Yeah,
and you know he's a dang good little running back too, and he even played a little receiver as an eighth grader. And he's going to be a big time football player for us. And he's just so selfless, and he just wants to win. And as he puts on Instagram all the time, he's going to do it every time.
Man, he'll tell you this too, man. He's one of them kids that. He's not the tallest kid, but he will tell you he is 6'9". He don't care.
Yeah.
You
know, no.
He has a big
game. He plays.
He's
yeah.
A dog.
Yeah.
I mean, he took third state last year. You know, in wrestling. You know, he's a hell of an athlete.
He sure yeah. is. And he plays with that. He's not the biggest. He's not the you know. Like, but he
don't
is,
try me.
Yeah. Come at me. Let's go.
This ain't gonna end well for
that dog in him.
Yeah.
And he's fun to watch because everything he does is. Full speed.
Yeah, fearless.
There is nothing. There's no hesitation. There's no nothing.
He's fearless.
And then you see it. Like I said, you see it. Glad he got practice play, but you see it a ton on kickoff.
Yeah,
he just you know runs out of reckless abandon. And then when he does get the ball in some of those games, where at the running back position too.
He can make somebody miss a hurry.
He can make. Yeah, he picks him up, puts him down quickly.
Yes, he does.
So he's got. And he's only a sophomore, right?
Yep.
So he's got a bright future ahead of him.
Yeah, he's going to have a great wrestling season, and he's going to have a great track season. He's just a great kid to have around. Great head on his shoulders.
And could be one of those – could be a starting quarter next year.
Yeah. I mean, big reason why we're 11-0.
Yeah. Mike
is a big part of this.
And him and Josh may be those two corners next year. And that'll be fun to watch.
Yeah, for sure.
The black flag bearer, Andre Crabtree.
Yeah.
Andre's just a – when I think about this class, such a special class, he's one of the first ones to come to mind. He's just set the foundation for us from whenever he was just a pup. And his work ethic is second to none. His desire to win is second to none. His ability to really just believe and accept coaching is superb. And he's turned himself into a dang good player. And in my opinion, he's going to be a college football player. And he's a... just a cornerstone of everything that we believe in, and he's everything we want our program to be about. Player made, you know, he just wasn't born as a spectacular athlete, but now you don't want to run the ball number 23 side, and he really protects the edge on offense as well. And he's been a weapon in the passing game as well.
Yeah.
He's got two touchdowns this year, and he's a kid that I sure believe in. When it's time to go, I believe in Andre Crabtree.
Well, I think he's one of those ones, too, like you said, could be a college football player. And if he does, he's one of those kids that could blossom in college.
Yeah.
Because he's going to take, when you get to the college level, there's a lot of kids that were very, very good in high school that get to the college level and they're not very good because they've never been coached and they don't understand how to take coaching and they don't want to be coached. So you have a kid like him who wants to be coached, who soaks it all up and, you know, has gotten better year by year by year. And he could be one that kind of blossoms in college and you look and go, you know, you were a good high school football player, but not a standout. And now all of a sudden, you know, you're a pretty darn good college football player.
And the structure that he has in his life is something that whenever you go off to college is a big deal as well.
Yeah.
He's going to be at every meeting. He's going to be at every breakfast. He's going to be at every study hall. He's going to do all of it. And he's going to never miss weights, you know.
And that goes back to the coachability part of it and things like that. I mean, like I said, that's what kids, I think, don't understand sometimes. It's not always necessarily the best athlete or the best. It's a lot of times it's related to the best prepared and the best. You know, somebody might be a better athlete than you, but when it gets to the college game, it's a way different athlete. It's a way different animal than it is kind of in high school. And like I said, it takes some of those coachable kids and some of that type of stuff to make a college program what they are. So I agree. I mean,
he'll be a foundation piece of somebody else's
program. I wholeheartedly agree.
That kind of goes into old saying, the two best ability in sports is availability
and accountability.
Accountability. Yeah.
Like, I mean, absolutely. And I mean, he's the epitome of all of that.
Yeah. I mean, sure is. Junior captain, been a captain this year as well. I mean, truly, when you look at our program, he's part of the foundation of it. And I'm proud to say that.
Let's go back on to the captain, dog. Ryan Donnelly, another kid.
Ryan?
Hold on, let's go back to the captain.
Ryan's Colin captain Donnelly. Of the
stand.
Ryan
is the captain of the fan.
Colin Donnelly, alpha male. alpha male. And I can say all the good things that everybody already knows. He's the alpha on the team. He's the alpha on the field. You don't run the ball at 18. And whenever he's on offense, you want to run behind him, he's going to get some movement. And he's dependable. He has great hands. In that Midwest City game, he scored our only offensive touchdown.
Scored our only offensive touchdown.
And had 75 tackles or something.
28 tackles and pinned him inside of the 10 on the last two drives.
Unbelievable as a punter. Player. And then had 22 or 23 tackles.
Okay, that's what I'm about to ask. Do we know? Okay, 22
it's in the 20s. It's not 28. I think it's like 22, 23.
Against
the hammer, yeah. And I think we answered that deal. Colin Donnelly's a hammer. He's a phenomenal football player, captain. The way he goes is how we go, you know. So if he's really on it, then we're on it. And
in these last two games, it seems like he has flipped a switch.
Yeah, he
like I said, he's had a phenomenal year.
MacArthur, I think.
Yeah, you're right.
Where it went, and he takes this personal, and you know, I mean, as you see in his dad Ryan, like this is Elgin football is a big deal to him and his family, and he puts that on his back, and he carries us, man. And
he's only a junior, so I mean,
he's a captain. I mean, he's a great choice to be that captain, and he's got the influence. He's the alpha male, and I'll ride and die with Colin Donnelly.
I'm with you.
I mean,
that's a dog.
We said a whole lot more words than we could. I mean, Colin Donnelly's the alpha male.
That's a dog right there.
Yeah.
And I just love, like I said, I just love the way he's played in these last 3 weeks. Yeah. I mean, it's just, like I said, a switch flipped, it's whatever happened. He said, okay, now's my time. And is
come on, boys, let's go.
Yeah, and has absolutely taken over. And it's been a little bit different this week.
Different style.
Yeah, and we'll talk about that as we move forward. But I still think he's going to, we'll go as he goes.
That's absolutely right.
Moving on to the players of the week against Piedmont, special teams player Talon Tadanipper.
Talon, kickoff demon, man. We joked, I don't know if it was last week or the week before, the game, every 106-pound wrestler needs to be on kickoff team. As he gets down there, he flies around. I swear he kind of glides on that knee, gets around a block, goes and makes a play, and he's just 100 miles an hour. He's a lot of fun to watch on kickoff. Hopefully, give him a lot of opportunities to go make some more plays this week on kickoff.
Yeah, because the more kickoffs we have, the more points we score. So, yeah, we definitely want that.
I hope he has a lot.
And he's fun to watch. Like I said, I mean, I know he's a special teams player. I mean, again, we're talking about a freshman. You know, I mean, we had Bryce Martin as a sophomore, a freshman, Colin Donnelly, a junior. So the future is bright. Townsend, very good running back.
Yeah, he is.
And I think he's going to do some good things on defense as well moving forward in the next couple of years.
Good family, good group.
Yeah.
I mean, good player.
Defense player of the week, Jace Williams.
I think Jace is he's a superb football player. Just an absolute unit in the middle on defensively playing nose. He had a rough, he had not a rough week. He had a tough week, you know, playing the flex bone as nose and then also having to play every snap of offense. And there's a lot of contact made with his body for a lot of snaps. And he handled it really well. He made a ton of plays on the dive. You know, I'm sure that Piedmont Center is thrilled that game's over. I mean, and not that kid wasn't a good player, but Jace played really exceptionally well and works incredibly hard. It comes from a great family. I mean, just another pillar of the program, and he can really play. He can really play on both sides.
So talk since we've got him right now, kind of at that spot. Talk a little bit about, because not often do you see interior linemen like him and Shea play the type of snaps that they play. And I don't think people understand sometimes watching the game. I mean, if we have 100 snaps in a game, offensively and defensively, I mean, they're probably playing 90?
Yeah.
I mean, in a game like that when it's close and whatever else. I mean, so talk about how, like, the importance of, A, their conditioning, and, B, their – because Shea and him both do a great job of it when they know that they have those breaks, like maximizing those 30 seconds or 2 minutes or whatever it may be.
Yeah, most of the time, I mean, they don't come off the field much defense. I mean, offensively, they don't come off the field.
Right.
It's really hard to rotate an offensive line and expect the same production. And so defensively, when they can, you know, Tristan Kephart's done a great job subbing people in and getting those guys some rest, and kind of Coach Baker does a great job rotating them as best as he can and fitting them where they need to go and getting guys rest. And then whenever on the punt return, both of them come off and they get their 60 to 90 seconds.
Maybe at the most.
Then they just got to cowboy up, and that's what they do. And, you know, they do have to condition really hard and be in shape. And I just – it's just so – I think a lot of it is their love of playing football comes into play and their adrenaline's going, because you can't replicate during the week – the physical toll that they take during a game. And then also the way, I mean, Shea has, what, 50 interception return yards, and, you know what I'm saying, the way they got to run, and Jace making plays down the line, and Shea's tackles for loss in there. I mean, so it's not just stalemate and taking body blows. They're moving and they're running.
A lot of our offense is counters and stretches where they're moving. They're running in space a lot of times.
Yeah. We're asking a lot of them, and they're answering the bell. And, you know, and Shea got offensive lineman of the week. And, you know, so Jason Shea, two-way Ironman. And we're going to need them going forward still. And it's going to take a lot. And, you know, they're going to be pass rushing a lot this week too. Yeah. So they're going to have to cowboy up again just like they do. And I mean, those guys are some Elgin Owls. They're going to be ready to go.
Speaking of Shea, Crowder of the week.
Yeah, you know, Shea is a spectacular offensive lineman. And you know, his highlights aren't necessarily always coming from the offensive side of the ball because of how dynamic he is defensively. And, you know, defensively, you kind of see that shine a little bit more. Offensively, though, he reminds me so much of Trent Williams. And that is a wild thing to say, because Trent Williams might be the best football player. Not just offensive lineman, but the best football player.
And Shea's like 225.
Yeah, and Shea's like what I always call like a bike-sized Trent Williams. Just his athletic ability.
But I do like that comparison. I've never heard you say that, but I do like it, the athletic ability.
And they're so light on their feet, and they can really move. And Shea is such a cerebral player that he's so fun to coach, because he knows how to put his body in a place to have success on a play, and he knows himself as a player so much to where, you know, like, it's not there's no like cookie cutter, this is how you're going to reach block in this situation against this front or whatever. He
gauges who he's going against to know that this time I may have to bring more this.
And not only that, is how is that linebacker fitting? Can I be heavier on this combo with this, that? How is Hudson really getting to overtake, or is he? Do I need to really turn this defender's shoulders? And he's just so smart in the little details of it. And whenever he's sharp, he is as good as they get. And Coach Beck will say the same thing defensively, that whenever he is sharp and doing things the way Shane Charles can do things, it's a show, man. And I know that's not really what people want to hear about linemen, but it's a show. It's a lot of fun.
But when you look at it from the, I believe, and I don't have the stats in front of me at the moment, but he's playing defensive end. And, yep. I mean, I know we're talking about him as a referee of the week, but, I mean, he's playing defensive end, and he's our second leading tackler.
Yeah, and it's not a five-technique defensive end like an edge rusher either.
No, it's inside.
It's a hybrid because you're a B-gap stuffer.
Yeah.
So it's pretty impressive. And his tackles for loss are really impressive as well. He's just so quick and again, he knows leverage and he knows how to get extension, and he
and a lot of that comes from wrestling. Yeah. Going back to that,
and he had a great year in wrestling last year.
But a lot of it goes back to that. I mean,
he's a big dude that can move, man. Mm-hmm. Athletic, you can't beat it.
Yeah.
No, and I mean, again, another junior that does come back next year. Yeah. I mean, this year we're ecstatic about it. But I mean, again, the future is bright. I mean, a lot of these kids are coming back, and I mean, when they come back with success like that too, all of them are good enough kids that they're starting to teach, like you just talked about with Hudson. I mean, yeah. Shea's teaching Hudson things.
Oh, yeah.
Shea's teaching Kephart things. He's catching Peebushy things from that defensive spot and things like that. I mean, that's what it takes to build an actual program rather than just kind of a one-hit wonder.
Yeah, for sure.
And that's a pretty cool thing of what we've got going right now.
He's a – and a lot of it's so much of his mind. He's so sharp. I mean, he would make one heck of a coach one day. I hope he goes and does something, makes a whole lot more money. But he's so sharp. He could be one heck of a offensive line or defensive line coach. He's a special kid, man.
Yeah. Offensive player of the week, Matt Long.
Yeah, Matt Long, dude. He could have gotten 11 weeks in a row and it would have been earned, you know. And
just give it to Matt.
Yeah, he's really special.
So he's 74 yards away from 5K for the year.
Okay.
5K for his career.
Yeah.
And he's 178 away from the single season.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the numbers that David Dillingham gave me earlier in the week.
And he's earned all of it, man.
He's just such a better running back now. Because there was a couple of big plays in that game, but you know, he takes a 2 or 3 yard gain into a 7 or 8 yard gain.
Yeah.
Now, where he didn't in the past.
He's just a special kid to watch grow because he hasn't always been this big time team guy. Early on, I think he was a young kid, immature a little bit, and he was worried about Matt Lund, and that's not to say anything bad about Matt because that's a lot of kids go through that, and today it was a really. For me, just sitting back and reflecting, we were an inside run, and I guess Trace didn't throw it to Colin, and 7-on-7, and we're about to start an inside run, and they're all yapping at each other in a playful way, but Matt goes, "Fellas, we're 11-0. I think we're doing all right." and that's just such a – Matt Lund would not have said that when he was in ninth grade and probably not even 10th grade, and you started to see it kind of turn last year, and Matt is super proud of that single or the all-time leading rusher, but Matt Lund wants to be a state champion more than anything else, more than any stat. Or I mean, if Matt Lund took 5 carries in the state championship game and we won, he would have no different feelings. And watching him grow mentally and emotionally and his maturity, that has been the biggest thing that I've really enjoyed watching Matt Lund do. And I love watching him run counter too.
Yes.
But watching his growth as a young man and what he's going to do going forward, it's been so much fun. And
he means counters, a lot to me. Counter's pretty special.
He sure loves counter.
He gets it.
And he can hit the stretch. I mean, he can do it all. He's someone is going to get a steal at running back and whoever, I don't know who it's going to be, but wherever he goes to play college football, they're going to get a steal.
Yeah.
That's for sure. Because he is more talented than where he's going to end up playing probably.
Yeah.
And he's going to be a cornerstone of Sol's program.
And I'll be the first to admit, earlier in the year I was kind of, you know, hey, maybe he needs to, you know, think about, you know, inside the slot type position, things like that. But I think he's a back. I think now, like you said, he's changed my opinion. I mean, all along I've kind of said, okay, I don't know, you know, maybe he needs to, think about the slot and this, that, and the other. But every game, the more and more I watch games, and more he starts to get the dirty yards and starts to get against big time opponents, the more and more I'm like, he's going to be a running back in college. Yeah. He should be a running back in college. And like you said, whoever gets him, whatever school decides to take a chance on him, or if he decides to take a chance on himself and say, hey, you know what, I'm coming. Yeah. I'm going to walk on.
Yeah.
I think they're, like you said, they're getting a steal. And like I said, comes from a good family and all that kind of stuff too. And I
mean, he's an awesome family.
That, but yeah, I mean, I apologize. I told you to move positions or whatever, or to think about moving positions. But I think, yeah, I think he can.
How dare you?
I think he can definitely. But I mean, I think that's where he is in the recruiting world right now. It's, I mean, a lot of times in the recruiting world, they just look at the statistics, not the overall. I'm talking about the height, the weight,
the measurables,
Yes,
yeah.
And they see that, they go, he's not gonna be a running back.
They're gonna read the measurables before they hit play.
And I think with him, you need to hit play. And when you hit play, you go,
you're gonna hit it again, probably.
Yeah, because
you're gonna want to watch it.
You're talking about MacArthur. You've got a couple kids in that secondary that are supposedly D1 kids and whatever else, and he's juking them, running away from them. He's, you know, whatever.
He went 80 on
him. Midwest City, same thing.
Yeah.
Piedmont, same thing. So I think that, like you said, I think those measurables, you can't measure the heart. You can't measure the, and you can't, you know, like I said, I mean, I don't know what he is in the 40.
Players can play, man.
And I don't know what he is in the 40.
Players are going to play, yeah.
But it's one of those things like, he's like, you know, Jerry Rice wasn't fast in the 40, but you get on a football field and nobody catches him.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, and we talked a little bit about that last year when he ran away from MacArthur last year. It was like, whoa, okay, a little redhead. He's got something going.
Man. You know, and with that and his speed, John Hughes in the track program, and I'm glad I get to be a part of it, but John Hughes has made Matt Lund, Trey Crabtree, Trey Harris – before his injury, and I mean Adam Eaton, even Andre and Colin. I mean, our track program has made us really, really explosive offensively, and suffocating defensively. You know, we get to the ball in a hurry because of what Coach Hughes has done, and he's been huge for us. And I'm glad we have a program that is married to that track program, and it's been really cool.
Not only track, but also wrestling. I mean,
absolutely, yeah.
And I think Jack's mom posted something earlier today
and circled all those wrestlers.
And circled all the wrestlers. And on the defense side of the ball, I think there were 7 wrestlers on the defensive side of the ball in this one play. And she pointed, because I don't know, somebody sent her a text or something that said, you know, it's like watching WWE when they tackle people, they like body slam them, this, that, and the other. And she circled the 7 wrestlers that are on the defense. And then she was like, hey, by the way, like 4 of them qualified for state, one of them's a state champ.
Yeah.
it was kind of like, okay, well, this makes sense.
And well, no, I mean, 100%. Man, if you look at the honors of the week, you got Bryce Martin, third place last year at state. Colin Donnelly, third place last year at state. Jace Williams, wrestler. He was injured last year. He needed to go. But
probably a favorite to be a state champion.
But he would have been a favorite to win a state last year. And you got Talon. He was an 8th grader, but I guarantee he probably could have placed last year.
Shea
was one match away from being a state placer.
And that was Richard, with a couple years off of wrestling.
He took 2 years off.
So yeah. Richard,
and then Richard
was a state champ. Hunter Jackson.
Second placer.
Overtime.
Ultimate overtime. Yeah.
Wow.
So I was talking to Cody about that, the rules. Yeah, I don't want to get into that. But I don't get nobody in those shoes, man. I don't want to go there.
Don't get it worked up about wrestling.
I'm gonna edit all that shit.
Well, whatever it is, I got Hunter's back. I'll tell you what. Hunter is a special kid. But, like, I don't coach Hunter in offense or defense, really. I mean, he doesn't play much offense. He's a safety. I'm the offensive line coach. But for whatever reason, like, number 10, that's my guy.
He's a good dude, right?
Yeah, he's a great kid. Never runs his mouth. Does what he's supposed to be doing. Makes plays. Loves football. Never in trouble. And he's like the silent captain of the team. You know what I mean? This is what I'm supposed to do. I'm doing it. And so I respect the hell out of that.
So my wife comes home after Piedmont and goes, who's number 10? I said, Hunter Jackson. She goes, oh my God, he looks tiny out there. Now, my wife is the daughter of a defense coordinator, the sister of a Ole Miss safety, and goes, but he's a fucking baller.
He's a baller, man.
She goes, I looked up baller. And I was like, Jesus, that kid's tiny. And then I kind of started looking at him or whatever to kind of figure out like what the hell's going on. And then she was like, then all of a sudden I was like, he reminds me of Brishan, her brother, who played at Ole Miss as a safety.
Yeah.
And was like, after he made a couple plays, then he would get up and I'd be like, oh, that was 10. That was the kid that I saw. It was tiny. Yeah. Then all of a sudden I was like, shit, he's a baller. So now my father-in-law is like, so she calls my father-in-law. I was like, hey, let's check this kid out. He's a safety, he's a little kid, yada, yada, yada. And I mean, I said, my wife knows a ton of football. Don't get me wrong. I mean, she grew up in a football family and stuff like that. But she was like, God, he's tiny. And then all of a sudden, within that one game, she was like, oh, he's a baller.
Yeah.
And he played a great game, absolutely great game against Piedmont.
My high school head coach, and I got to coach with him, or under him at Lawton High, Randy Breeze, great football coach, has over 100 wins as a head coach. He went to our MacArthur game at Cameron last year, and after he texted me congrats, and then he said, who is number 10?
Yeah, because he had the shoulder and then came back.
And I was like, that's Hunter Jackson. And he said, he is my favorite football player I've watched this year. And I mean, it was week 9 of last year. And he was like, number 10, he's my favorite kid I've watched play. And that makes sense, man. He just goes out there, does his job, flies around, very disciplined. And he's a great football player. And he's a lot of fun for me to watch. So easy to root for, and whenever he does make a big play, it kind of just feels a little bit bigger.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And he's just dependable, and man, he's awesome. Great dad.
Yeah.
And Jacob, his little brother, is going to be a good player, and I just can't say enough about Hunter, man. I know we're not even talking about Hunter, but.
No, it's all good.
Yeah.
And the Black Flag Bear and also the Sharpen Your Action War was the same kid, Andre Crabtree.
Yeah. Andre makes sense. Came out, played really well. I said a lot. I mean, my man Andre means a lot to me. It means a lot to our program. It means a lot to Coach White and all that we've done. And special kid.
Well, as far as the Sharpen Your Axe part of it goes, I was at practice.
You came last week.
Right? Yeah, Tuesday or Wednesday. And he didn't have the greatest practice.
No, and he kept he was coaching every snap.
And that's what I'm saying. The Sharpen Your Axe. That's what that award is for.
Yeah.
He didn't have the greatest practice. I mean, Jack wasn't necessarily on him, but Jack was like, "Hey, look, I'm telling you, like, don't do this, don't do that." You know, you're looking in the backfield. You're not worried about your responsibility. You're upfield. You're not supposed to be upfield. You know, coaching him.
Pretty consistently, and everybody else, like, when that happens as a staff and as a football coach and as maybe an outsider that's there,
it was
like,
you're going, oh, like, this dude is going to make me nervous for Friday.
Andre's going to have to kind of tighten up,
right? And then all of a sudden, hey, whatever was told on Wednesday translated Friday, and he played an outstanding game.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what that award is about.
Yeah.
I mean, and like I said, I mean. Absolutely great kid. I mean, you don't really talk to Andre because he doesn't say
he's not 10 the biggest words. Personality. Yeah.
No, but yeah, just fun, just an absolute fun to watch football player. And the Sharpen Axe. I mean, that's what took me by when I saw it Friday. I was like, that's exactly what that award was meant to be. Because Wednesday, I'm coming home going, oh shit,
Andre's running upfield.
He's running upfield. Like, he's doing all kinds of stuff.
He's got a box of Billy G right here.
Yeah, he's not doing what he's supposed to do. And then, like I said, I mean, didn't cause any problems during the game. I mean, obviously, I mean, nobody on defense didn't really anything wrong. No. It seemed like.
Speaking of Andre, I had the 5 starting offensive linemen over and the 4 tight ends that play at my house the Thursday before he played Piedmont. Had him over, made tacos, whatever. Played the Nintendo 64 because that's all I got. I don't have the new video games or whatever. Anyway, they start playing
Mario Kart, huh?
Yes. Undisputed. I'll put my salary on it. Hey,
I know, to go. Lady Dog. That's pretty cold at it, man. We're going to set that up.
It's got to be Nintendo 64. Anything newer than that, I ain't got it. But being around him, and I get to sit back and just watch. I get to watch the boys hang out. And and I'm going to probably embarrass him a little bit here, but Keith, Colin, and Shay were borderline cuddling on the couch. Just, you know what I mean? Like Keith is sprawled out, and Colin's kind of like leaning on him a little bit, and then Shay's leaning on Keith the other way, and it's not.
It's brothers, man.
Yeah, exactly. It's like brothers, that. Man. I could.
It's family.
I could love on him. Yeah, exactly. And that was really cool to see. And then watching, I mean, Andre is just so mature. Like, and then everybody leaves, and I'm talking to my wife about the whole deal, and so you know, like if I was in high school, like I think Andre would be the guy that I hung out with, and just kind of just mature, handles everything, really smart and funny in his own way. Well, he doesn't have this ego. Like you make fun of Keith, Keith is gonna, you know, and Andre can kind of like, all right, Keith's gonna punch me after I make fun of him and take it and not get.
Well, and I get, and I, so on Tuesdays I pick my daughter up from Lawton and dance, and we don't get home until 9. We don't get back to Elgin until 9. And I'd go to Brahms to get her, you know, chicken nuggets or whatever. To
Andre's in there.
And Andre's working. And, you know, and he's like, hey, Mr. Sailor. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm like,
what's yeah, he, up? Could, he could probably be like, hey, what up, Benny?
Yeah, but you
hello,
know,
Mr. Sailor.
Hey, Mr.
Sailor.
Yeah. You know? And I mean, I'm like, you know, and I mean, but also like the willingness to do, like you said, Keith's gonna buck up and whatever. Yeah. I mean, you know, I mean, just his willingness to, you know, I'm gonna work.
This is what I gotta to do.
This is what I'm supposed to do. I mean, I'm preparing myself for, I'm making myself a better person. I'm whatever, whatever those words are. But I mean, I was just like, okay, you get it. You know,
yeah,
you're a grown up.
Comes from a really good family.
Yeah.
And, you know, Trey gets it too. And
yeah.
His brother Trey, I mean, golly. Those boys mean a lot to me. It's been a lot of fun to coach him for a while.
Well, he,
I try to.
Trey got the big catch, and Trey got the big catch in that game as well. So, I think that's all the players of the week.
Yeah.
Talk about what that win meant. I mean, last year we had a great year, and you know, 8-2, we fall at the very end there to Midwest City, and we roll into Guthrie with some confidence, but.
Yeah,
it just didn't work out the way that we wanted it to, and you know, I don't know if the lights were too big or whatever happened. That was a great football team that we played.
Yeah, it was,
and they took care of us that night. So there was some trepidation going into this one because Piedmont kind of had that same type of, you know, and then you're playing against Flexbone, and you know, that's a difficult defense and all that kind of stuff. So talk about what that win meant to. To not only you, but the coaching staff and the team and all that kind of stuff.
It's really hard to, you know, that win was really cool. You know, it's somewhat of getting the monkey off your back, but it's also not because
there's so much more to play for.
Yeah, and you know, like it was last year. It was like once it was a big deal to make the playoffs last year. To earn a playoff spot, and we wanted to make the playoffs, and we wanted to win once we got there, obviously. But, I mean, I think our team did what our team was capable of doing last year. And, you know, Guthrie, golly, they're coached well. They really, just to be honest, they embarrassed me, shutting us out, not intentionally. I mean, they played a good game, and those guys are so great. They complimented us like crazy. Great staff and all that, but this game against Piedmont, it was like, all right, we got through that, man. We did it, and that's really cool, and you guys deserve a lot of credit for that. I mean, coming from, you know, we technically went to the playoffs when we were 0-7, and then lose that 8th game in the playoffs. And, like, you guys did something that hasn't been done since Coach Wyatt was a player as a senior, and they won a home playoff game. So that was really cool to – and it's probably not even a monkey off our back. It's more of a – check it off, you know, and so that it's hard not to respect it and appreciate it because we do, but it's so far from what we want. Not so far from what we want, but it's only a quarter of the way of what we want.
Yeah.
You know, and our kids understand that too. And man, I don't want to disrespect how hard it is to win, because it is incredibly hard to win, and it's incredibly hard to win a playoff game against a really well coached football team like Piedmont and a bunch of talented kids like Piedmont has, with kids that fly around on defense and kids that run the flex bone better than it's probably the best flex bone team I've coached against, and I've coached against 5 or 6 times in 11 years, and that's probably the best I've seen it ran. And and our kids came out and answered the bell and shut them out, and they had a great fullback, and they had a quarterback that did his did what he needed to do. And so I don't want to discredit the win, and I don't want to not appreciate it because it's really cool. But our kids are on a bigger mission, you know, and we've got a great opportunity this week to go do something really, really cool. Something that's never been done in Elgin. Elgin's never been to the semifinals before. So we got something else in front of us, and we know that. So regardless of what happens Friday night, we can look back and be really appreciative of this last game, but not yet. You know, like, it's not time to pat ourselves on the back.
It gives me chills. And good job, brother.
and you know what? That's not just from Coach White. I mean,
no, that's from the players. Leader,
but those kids, man, those kids are
really awesome. You look at it and you go back to Keith week one or two of the coaches show, and Eric Sherram asked him a question, and he said, you know, we lost two in a row last year at the end of the season.
Yeah.
You know, he's like, congratulations on the year last year. And, you know, oh yeah, y'all start off great. You know, no, we were on a two game losing streak last year.
Yeah.
What's the most important game you're going to play, or, you know, what's the game you're looking most forward to, or whatever, that he asked Trey, okay. Crabtree, yeah. Or something. And he said December 2nd, 3rd, whatever that date, yeah, was. You know, I mean, that shows the mentality that has permeated throughout the entire season. And yes, we're on a great run. We're 11-0. Never happened. David Dillingham, never happened before, yeah, in school history. All that kind of stuff. And yeah, when we look back on it in January, no matter when it ends,
yeah,
we're going to go, oh shit, this is a great season.
Yeah.
But the way that you guys think about it, and the way, you know, us that are close enough to it, Derek, you're on the staff and whatnot. Yeah. I mean, there's still a ton of unfinished business out there.
Absolutely.
And Claremore's going to be tough. I mean, yeah, talk a little bit about kind of what to expect from those guys, and what obviously they're very good on offense. You know, for those that don't know, they won last week 49-48. The team that they played scored a touchdown with about a minute left to make it 49-48, decided to go for two, didn't get the two-point conversion to win it. So they won 49-48 at their home field, but now they have to travel 3.5 hours, whatever it is, down here to play us. Good football team. Obviously, absolutely, it's weird when you play East Side School. I mean,
yeah,
talking to y'all Friday night after the game, nobody had ever seen a game or anything about it. Yeah. But
would you have made that call? Go for two?
You know, I don't
hate it.
I don't hate it.
I don't hate it. The only thing I had against it was they were down like 21, 24 at some point. Yeah. So you have the momentum now. Yeah. I say the only thing, I get it, when you're on the road, you do it, but you've got all the momentum when, yeah, you're up, when you've made a 20-something point comeback. Kick it, go to,
yeah. But then on the flip side of that, it's like, hey, we got the momentum. Let's go punch it in.
And
it's so hard to gauge that.
And I mean, the play call, I mean, say what it is. I mean, it was it was due from the beginning. I don't think it was a bad call.
But it just didn't work out.
The problem is, the kid just lost his footing, yeah, right, yeah, from the, like, he didn't even have a chance.
If he kept his footing, it would have been.
It would have been close.
It would have been really. I mean, he had a chance to get in.
He had a hole, but he didn't.
You got to live with it, man. And those coach,
I would have had a run pass option though.
Their quarterback was decently athletic. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was a call. It looked like the quarterback, he was up, they were in the pistol. The quarterback kind of goes up, says something.
Yeah.
And then shifts over, and then they direct snap to the back.
Yeah.
Try to run outside left.
And you work on those two-point plays. I mean, yeah, you know that. You, yeah, work on those two-point plays. You know, and that was one that they schemed up for some reason. They called it in that situation. And that, yeah, was one that they thought for sure. And like I said, he just caught the snap and kind of started to fumble from the beginning.
Yeah.
And not fumble, but stumble. It's kind of 6-1 way, half a dozen the other. Because like I said, you made that big comeback. So it's like, all right, let's kick field. Let's go to extra.
Because they haven't stopped us lately.
We've been stopping them. But, I mean.
That's a hard part of coaching, man. Because, like, and you prepare for all of, like, you think in your mind, if this happens, I'm going to do this. But then
the game,
oh Lord, face. It's 63 seconds left in this game, and we're in that situation. I've talked about that. I already knew what I was going to do, but I'm going to second guess what I'm going to do. Right. You know, I mean, it's just human nature.
But so I think 2020, damn, exactly.
Right. And like I said, if he hits it, everybody's going, "Hey, that was so smart. You're exactly. genius, or whatever." And that's what Chalmers always talks. Chalmers talks about it. Has been talking about it for the last 3 or 4 weeks now. Trust my players.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's what that coach did. Then I mean.
And I'm sure he slept well at night because
that's the call that they worked on all week. There was a reason that was their 2-point play call. Because like I said, and you know this as a coach, I mean, talk about that. I mean, you work some of those 2-point plays throughout the week because hey, if you need to go to a 2-point play, there's a reason for it. So you absolutely want it to execute.
Yeah, for sure.
And that, so they saw something in it, and that's what they decided to roll with, and it just didn't go.
And they liked it, and you know, and they're really well coached. So I hope I'm not wrong here. I believe it's Coach Holt is the head coach, and then David Alexander, who was the Broken Arrow head coach when they won the state championship 3 or 4 years ago, is the offensive line coach and offensive coordinator. And he played for the Eagles. He is an incredible coach. Incredible coach. And so him calling that play, it's like, that's an offensive line coach play call, and for me, I respect the hell out of it.
Yeah,
and
Clarence Holly is one of my father-in-law's good friends.
Oh, coach. Really?
Yeah,
he's the captain, baby.
Yeah, so Clarence coached with him at Broken Arrow,
and then went to Stillwater after that.
Yeah,
I coached against Clarence 3-4 times, maybe.
Clarence was the head coach at Arkansas Monticello when I was a freshman.
His defense is what Altus runs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Clarence is now on like the coaching circuit selling his defense and some of that type of stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. He sells it. And now he's at Union after the Barnard went to Shiloh.
Yeah. Yeah. So Clarence was also kind of a State Farm guy too at some point. Clarence is kind of.
He was a little league coach and then ended up getting into it, right? He coached his boy.
It's a weird long story. So Clarence was a college football coach. Clarence was a head coach at Arkansas Monticello. So my wife is now walking in. So Clarence, so did your dad take over Clarence or? So Clarence was head coach. Clarence was the head coach at Arkansas Monticello. And then he left Arkansas Monticello to get involved with State Farm.
Okay.
He was a D2 head coach, whatever. And then my father-in-law took over for him. So that's kind of how we have all migrated to Oklahoma is because of Clarence Holly. So Clarence, he coached there. He coached at Minnesota Duluth, D2 school. Yeah. And then, like I said, then all of a sudden – Him and his wife adopted Kobe.
Okay, yeah.
And so he started coaching Kobe when he was involved in the State Farm deal. And then Kobe got better and better and better. And he was like, oh, well, I'll start helping out with Stillwater. Because Kobe grew up with Little Gundy.
Yep.
And all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I got to coach against those guys.
Yeah, and that's kind of how that whole situation kind of happened.
That defense is tough, man. It's – they've taken a little bit of it to Shiloh, and I coached against him at Lawton High. And
Shiloh Christian?
Stillwater, when he was at Stillwater.
Okay.
But then, yeah, Shiloh Christian now that has Stillwater's excellent coach, Tucker Barnard. That's a tough defense, and I'm going to tell you what, I've been stressed every week, but out this week, I was like, I was stressed. The offensive line coach hates seeing it. And luckily, our kids prepared really well and we executed. But, you know, Clarence Holly's got a great – I mean, he's a mad scientist. You know what I mean? Yeah. In a way, he kind of reminds me of the Mike Leach of defense by doing that. Mike Leach is so – just I'm going to do something totally different than everybody else.
Yeah.
And I might not be the most, freaking Bear Bryant type of guy, but I'm going to do my thing and –
yeah,
whatever, and it's worked for them, and they had a great run at Stillwater, and they're still really good, and I'm sure I haven't watched it, but I'm sure they're still running some of that stuff.
Yeah, I would think so.
And I think Holly's at Union. I'm sure he probably installed a little bit there.
He is now. So,
that's cool, man. Small world. Football's cool.
Oh, yeah.
Football brings a lot of people together.
Yeah, like I said, I mean, that's the whole – Clarence Holly is the reason we are now in Oklahoma, even though, you know what I'm saying? I mean,
yeah,
father-in-law connections and whatever else. I mean,
football brings so many people together. Kinley York, I don't know. I coached her in long jump, and her dad, really good guy, nice guy to me. I was coaching her, and then I met him at a track meet, and he was just telling me about himself. I was like – And he told me he played at Putnam City West, and he was however old he is now. And I talked to him, and he's like, and he was on Putnam City West team, and he beat my dad in my dad's last high school football game. And he was like, "Your dad's David Castro, number 6 from Eisenhower?" I was like, "Yeah, I'm Adam Castro. Nice to meet you, dude."
Absolutely.
Yeah. So it was, I mean, just football is cool like that.
And
you guys know too. Clarence Holly, and Clarence Holly does not know me, but I know him because of what he does.
And it's a weird deal too with football too, because like you'll just catch a name and you're like, "Oh, I was like a junior and I played that kid," that, you know, and like, "Is that you?" And then you're all of a sudden you're like, "Oh yeah, you were the yada yada yada."
Coach Baker coached against me twice as a player, and then I coached against him 2 or 3 times as a coach. And his he always talks about one of his linebackers, Eli Rushing from Putnam City. And I got to play against him 2 years when I was a lot high, and he was at Putnam City. And Eli Rushing became my college roommate at OBU. And so we got, I mean, it's just, you can draw a million of these things of little connections of, I know him from here. And that's just what's so cool about football. And, you know, we have such a great group, and I'm sure these guys are going to have the same thing come to
them. Yeah, they will. They'll run into kids, and, you know, as they matriculate around wherever they go, whatever, if they stay in the state, whatever, they'll, you know, they'll run into a kid that played at Weatherford. They'll run into the, you know, these random.
Yeah, one day I'm a coach, Colin Donnelly's college roommate, coach with Colin Donnelly's college roommate. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and that's going to happen. What's going on and things like that. So, all right, so to kind of bring it back full circle, I mean, all right. What do we expect from Claire Moore? I mean, I know offensively they like to toss it around a ton. Yeah. Probably the most air raid type of offense we faced all year. I know you're an offensive coordinator. Well, but I mean,
I'm the assistant to the defense coordinator. I got to know what's going on.
Okay, so there you go. So we expect them to potentially put some points up.
All right.
Okay. Perfect.
I mean, I'm not going to comment on that other than I believe in the Black Flag. I'll say that, and I'm not. Claymore's well coached, and they have good athletes for sure, and they have the ability to go light up the scoreboard on Friday nights. They do, and they have a good receiver, Gabe Deckard. He's a fast kid. Ran the 4x1, ran the 100, ran the 200. I'm pretty sure he was on the relays, and they had a good year in track. Good receiver, very similar to a Matt Lund body. Kind of probably an inch taller, and probably plays receiver better than Matt could. But I don't know. Matt's really good in the backfield. I'm not talking anything to Matt here. Reminds me of Matt as a receiver. And I steal that comparison from Coach O. Coach O is the one that said that, RDB coach. And I can see that a ton. Claymore's quarterback's pretty athletic and kind of makes some plays on the run. We work scramble drill today,
a lot of the plays come from the scramble drill, or
I wouldn't say a lot, but definitely some do, okay, for sure. And you know, in high school football, if you have a quarterback that's pretty mobile, then that's hard
to defend.
Yeah, for sure, because it's off script.
Yeah.
And you know, and you got to try your best to prepare for off script, which is incredibly difficult to prepare for.
Right.
They've set school records just like we have in points and stuff, and I think they're averaging like 40 a game, and which is really cool. And they have had their best year since 99 or 96. I can't remember. So offensively, they're going to throw it around a little bit. Their running back got hurt early, number 88. He got hurt early, big bruiser kind of guy. They flipped their offensive line. They have a quick side and a strong side. So your right guard could also play left guard. Your right tackle could also play left tackle.
Okay.
So you kind of, which
there any tendencies there? Or?
Yeah, there's definitely tendencies. Yeah. And you know, our defensive staff is so good that they do their homework and figure things out like that. And you know, Jack works incredibly, insanely hard.
Yeah,
Jack 100%, and I have no problem conceding this. He watches more film than any coach on staff.
Yeah.
100%. Yeah, I think most defense coordinators probably do. You know?
Yeah.
Because they've got to prepare differently than
I do. Way, way differently. Because offensive side of things, you're only worried about yourself.
I think, and this is an argument that football coaches have all the time. I personally think, and I'm not that my personal opinion matters, but I personally think defense is much harder to coach.
Yes.
And offense is much harder to play. And
okay, I would agree. I would agree with both of those statements.
And some people won't, and that's fine. And I'm not saying I'm right, but defense is much harder to coach for sure. And Jack does a hell of a job. The best I've been around, and I've been around some really, really great defensive coaches. He does a great job, and he emphasizes the right things that need to be emphasized.
But Jack's funny in that, like, it'll be Thursday at midnight, and it's like we found something. This.
Yeah,
you know, and you're like. It's Thursday at midnight. Like,
yeah, brother. Yeah,
we're playing. Yeah. So I mean, my father-in-law was a defense coordinator.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And going back to Claymore defense, I mean, they're offensively, they can put up some points.
Defense.
And,
what do you?
Win? So their defense predominantly four-man front. You know, they do a lot of man coverage for the most part. Man coverage they will in passing down situations. They'll go two safeties high and they'll give you a little three man front in long down and distances. But it's more predictable when they do that, which is understandable. But they're either going to be cover one, cover zero, or cover three for the most part. And it's kind of they can kind of do like a two high cover three, and some people call it like. Cover three cloud, yeah. Maybe with that safety that stays too high but rolls underneath, kind of like Cash did. But I mean, I think their defense plays with a fanatical effort, which is I don't know if they'll listen to this, but if they do, I hope that's a compliment to them, because playing defense with a fanatical effort does answer a lot of questions, or I'm sorry, answer a lot of problems. And you know, they play really hard. Number 25 linebacker, I couldn't tell you his name right now, but whenever he plays Mike and Will, depending on who the other linebacker in the game is, they'll put their running back in that linebacker and they'll bump him over to the other side. But he's a good football player. They got their heavyweight wrestler, Josh Feliciano. I'm almost positive 66. Their numbers are hard to read. It's either 66 or 56. He's a great little three technique, really powerful kid. And he'll present some problems, but I trust our guys up front as well. It's gonna be a really fun game, and you know they're having a year like they've never experienced before in a similar way to us.
Yeah.
Whether I don't know if they expected this to happen or not for them, because I say that as in saying we expected to be where we are.
Yeah.
I don't say that in a cocky way. I say that in a confident way of we trust our kids and our kids kind of. Believed in the process and doing what they're doing. So,
hey, so we're getting at that time right now. Y'all want to go into the final word?
Yeah.
I would like to start it with you and then end it with me.
Okay.
Sounds good. So, I mean, hey, it's a great season. We've done great. We're happy where we are, but there's a lot of unfinished business. And yeah, like I said, I mean, we can look back at this and celebrate later and all that kind of stuff, but there's nothing better as a football program to practice on Thanksgiving week. The only other thing that's better is to practice
the Monday,
the week after Thanksgiving. Yeah. So if we can get by this one, it's going to be an amazing time. And we hope to have a big Thanksgiving dinner wherever we're going to do it. But we're going to have to do it after practice. Mom and Dad, we apologize about that. But we want everybody to come out. I mean, the Elgin faithful and community and fans helped us win that game against Piedmont.
Absolutely.
And we want that. We want that again this week. And I don't have any doubt that that's going to happen. this is the last time that you're going to see Matt Lund, Keith Ferguson, Michael Isola, all those seniors, the Crabtrees, all those seniors that we talk about that have gotten to this point and led this program to here. This is the last time. We talked about it before MacArthur that it was senior night and this, that, and the other, but we also said we expect to play more games here. This is the last time you're ever going to see Matt Lund run on that owl.
Yep.
So enjoy it. Come out. Be there. Be loud. Be a part of the game. Because, like I said, when you yell on third and two, and now all of a sudden you make it third and seven, that's a big part of it.
Helps.
So we want you to come out there. Like I said, I work for OSN, and I want you to watch our games. Don't get me wrong. But you can watch it on Saturday. You can watch it on Sunday. You can watch it Friday night at when you get home an hour after the game's over. Now, if you're, you know, if you're listening from Arizona, if you're listening from wherever, watch us live, absolutely. But come out, enjoy this. I mean, this is a great time to be an owl. You know, this is something that may not ever, you know, wins are hard to come by. Seasons like this are hard to come by, so it may never happen again. Yeah, we talk about the future is bright and things like that, but things could happen. So enjoy it while it's here. And let's get it done. I mean, we want to play next week. And if you can get out to the stadium, get out to the stadium. I mean, one of the greatest things I saw all week was that post from whoever that person was. And I don't know who you are. And I apologize that I don't know your name off the top of my head. From a block over that just like just to hear that
they could from there that night. Yeah.
Just hear that from that driveway just shows the amount of support that's behind this coaching staff, this community, and these players. These players have put in the sweat, the blood, the tears, everything that you can imagine. So come out, support those guys. We're about to do something potentially that has never been seen in Elgin history, and I think we're going to do it. I mean, like I said, Claremore's probably the best team we've played all year. We said that for the last 3 weeks, and we've handled business in those 3 weeks. So let's get to those semifinals, somewhere we've never been as an Elgin football team in the past. Let's get there, but we need your help, and we're looking forward to it. And thank y'all for listening. Thank y'all for watching on OSN. It's been an amazing year, and we want to continue it at least one more week. And then once you get to the Final Four, anything can happen.
It's a little overwhelming what's going on, man. And I'll say that as an unprepared person because I'm prepared. And something that I've not spoken out loud, our staff, going back to Coach Wyatt, me, Coach Langford, and Coach Rao, I think we're the only four that were there in 2020. Yeah. Coach Hill was there as well, his first year there. It was really, really rough, and there was a lot of negativity around the program. And I don't want to bring up negativity, but after our last game, we lost at Blanchard. We're loading the buses, and you know, we talked to our kids, and we knew our freshman class was pretty special at that point. And I know we didn't win any games with them, and they played a lot of snaps that year. In our little coach's locker room at the time at Blanchard, as we were going and loading the bus to go home, I'm a little emotional, and I and Coach Wyatt, and we were the last two in there, and I gave him a hug, and I looked at him and said, "This isn't what we're going to do, and we've got a long way to go, but I'm gonna go, and I'm gonna go there." And so, in that moment, it was really special to me, and I'm sure he remembers it as well. So it's really cool to be where we are, and you know, to be where we are, you would think we'd be like, man, this is awesome, thank God we're here. It's cool, but Coach Wyatt will tell you, and our program will tell you, that this is only cool. It's not what we're doing. Like, we're not done with what we're trying to do, and our kids will tell you the same thing. And speaking on that night, that Monday after, we talked to our kids, you know, you have the last, season's over type speech. Coach White pulled every freshman, which are now our senior class, out of the team locker room, pulled them away, had a conversation with them, and said, "You guys are the class that's going to go take us somewhere." And right now they're there, and they have that opportunity now. Whether that gets done or not is yet to be seen. But they have put themselves in a place to go execute what they've been asked to do and what they've worked to go do. And man, that's really special. That's really special to go from the lowest of the lows to the opportunity to be at the highest of the highs. And obviously, I'm not going to say what's going to happen because I don't know. And whatever happens does happen. And we can hang our hat on whatever happens, knowing that we've given our best. And I'm just so thankful for the Elgin faithful, for you guys. The two of you love this program. And it's not just the two of you, but I'm talking Charlotte Spencer, Ryan Donnelly, Jared Williams, Cynthia Williams, Tommy Laura, Curtis Laura, Curtis's dad. I'm leaving out thousands of people.
Too many to name.
My wife, every coach's wife, every coach's kid. And man, what a cool year, man! And it's just so awesome. Tanya Ferguson. Yeah, I mean, just you can't name enough people that played a role in what we're doing. And people wanted those families. Nathan Jackson told me, "It's you coaches that are doing this." And I said, "There's no way, dude. It's your son. It's Hunter Jackson and his buddies, man." And I'm just lucky to be here. And that's really cool, man. And man, what a time to be in Elgin now. And I think people see that from outside of this program. And I'll speak for our coaching staff. We're really, really grateful for the kids we have and for the parents we have and the administration we have. And it's really, really special. And I pray that it's in God's will that we continue to play football. And that's what I got.
Dude, I cannot follow that. Hey, brother.
Amen, brother. You set yourself up for failure, Derek.
Hey, man. Amen, man. That's awesome.
Absolutely.